Can you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, can you guys sit and hang out real quick, nice and quiet with your bricks? Because I'm going to go talk with the choir for a second. Is that okay? All right, this is the last Sunday for a whole month that I got the choir behind me. So I'm going to talk to the choir for a minute, okay? Because I believe that you'll talk with me. You'll talk with me, right? All right, so choir, have any of you ever gone on a vacation or a trip or left home for at least a week? Anybody? All right, just about everybody. Nobody's ever gone to, like, the Philippines for a long period of time? Nobody? Or Japan or Hawaii or anywhere else? All right, so long trips, they can be wonderful. They can be relaxing. They can be fun. They can be in paradise. But how many of you are ever excited about being able to get back home after a trip? All right, anybody out there ever get excited about getting back home after a trip, no matter how great it is? Hey, even the kids are raising hands. So choir, here's what I need from you, okay? Because they're just too big to try to talk to. What is it that you look most forward to about getting home?
My bed.
They are ready to talk. I heard bed. Amen.
Washing machine.
Mimi says food. You know, trips, you tend to eat out the whole time, and just that home-cooked meal out of your own kitchen does sound wonderful, doesn't it? What else was that, Donna?
Washing machine.
Your washing machine, absolutely.
Your car.
Your car? What was that, Joyce?
My car.
Yeah. Your car? I think you said pets. Yes, Margie, pets.
Watering the plants.
Watering the plants, yes.
Mexican food.
Mexican food. I'm guessing you didn't go to a Mexican country on the trip. What else?
My pillow and my blankie.
Your pillow and your blankie, yes. All right, pop quiz. How many people take their own pillow and blankie when they go on their own trips? I take my own pillow.
Netflix.
Look forward to getting back to Netflix. Anybody look forward to getting back and catching up on their DVR and every show they missed while they were gone?
Yep.
That tells us the generations right there. Yeah. All right, what else do we miss about home that we look forward to getting back to?
Grandchildren.
Evelyn says the whole house. Somebody said their children.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren. Not children, just grandchildren. Okay. Pets. Anything else that I missed?
Decent Wi-Fi.
Decent Wi-Fi.
Decent Wi-Fi. I heard decent wine, and I said, what kind of trips are you taking? Decent Wi-Fi, yes. Being back connected, yes. How about one last one? What is it that we just have to get back home to?
Family.
Family.
Climate. The
church.
Our
church.
Climate.
Our church. Though San Francisco is only supposed to be like mid-60s right now. I think I'll miss that climate when we leave. Choir, church, community, friends. These are all things. Thank you very much, choir. You did a fantastic job this morning.
You're welcome.
I will miss you the next month being behind me, but I'm sure you'll enjoy seeing the front of me. So anyways, no matter what, when we leave home, no matter the occasion, no matter how great it is, we enjoy coming back to the comforts of home and the things that we know and we're familiar with, the things that are ours. And so this is where we get to when we wrap up our exile series. Because where have we been? 2 weeks ago, we started with God's law and what God said, this is how I need you to live. And last week, we looked at the consequences of what happens. When we break the rules, do we have to face consequences? Yep, we talked about that last week, didn't we? And last week, we talked about how Israel and Judah, God's kingdoms, had to face the consequences of generations of broken rules and disobedience to God, in particular in the evil acts of the king. And so here the Assyrians came and took Israel into exile, and here they had to go live in Assyria. And Judah, the southern kingdom, had to go into Babylon to live. So now imagine this. Fast forward the clock about 50 years. 50 years they've been in exile. So many of the people that have gone into exile have died in exile, and so many people that are still in exile have been born in exile, and that's all they've ever known. And at the kids' time, I talked about what happened when the king and the armies came in and overtook the people. What did they do to the temple? They knocked it down and they burned it to the ground, right? And God's house was no more, right? So as we look and we wrap up our series, we're going to go into a book called Ezra. Kids, can you say Ezra? Congregation, can you say Ezra? Ezra isn't a book that we often go to, but I love the book of Ezra and the story that's in here, because Ezra is the story of coming home. Do you guys like coming home? I like coming home. Well, in Ezra, in the beginning, it tells us there's a new king in Persia, which could confuse you because we haven't talked about Persia yet, but Persia at this point had overtaken Babylon. So the king of Persia was overseeing the exiles in Babylon. And at the beginning of the book of Ezra, can you guys say King Cyrus? King Cyrus heard from God, and God had decided that he was going to fulfill what the prophet Jeremiah, can you say Jeremiah? Jeremiah had promised that they'd be able to go back home. And King Cyrus, I'll tell you what, let's put our bricks down and put our hands in our laps instead of touching our bricks. I did this at Easter, too, where I brought them back up and went, oh, yeah, you don't leave them with stuff. All right, we're going to leave our bricks alone. Let go, let go, let go. We're almost going to use them, I promise, okay? One, two, three, all eyes on me. All right, so King Cyrus, say King Cyrus. King Cyrus heard from God, and this is what God said, okay? This is what Cyrus said through God. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him. What did God say he's going to build? A temple. And King Cyrus looks at God's people and he says, God wants you to go home, so I'm going to send you home. You get to take all your money, all your possessions, and you even get to take everything that was stolen from the temple. And you get to go back, and I want you to rebuild the temple as God commanded. So I need all of the boys. Can all of the boys and their bricks stand up? And come on up here, and right in this square right here, can you guys rebuild me a temple? Let's see how fast the boys can build a temple. Nope, just the boys. Juby, you can go sit down. Whoop, Philip, you can come up. You're a boy. All right. Let's build a quick temple, okay? All right, let's get some four walls. Can we get four walls? All right. Ooh, that's looking like a good temple. Can we get the next layer? Can we get four on top of those? How about we put one there, and then Philip, we got a spot right here for your brick. Can we put your brick right there? All right, let's stand back and let everybody see how awesome our temple is. Is that an awesome temple or what? Let's give the boys a hand. Good job, boys. And I'm going to let you sit right over here, okay? Can you guys go sit right there? That'll be the boys' spot right now. All right, so King Cyrus said, all right, you get to go home and you get to build the temple. Now, why is this important? The very first thing they're going to do is build a temple. Did God say go home and build houses? Nope. Did God say go home and build grocery stores? Nope. Did God say go home and build roads? Nope. What's the first thing God said to build? A temple, okay? Sometimes we're in exile. Sometimes we're in those places of discomfort, those places that are unfamiliar, those places that we don't want to be, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're apart from where we want to be. And God says there's a time that you're going to need to come home, a time that I'm going to send you home. There will always be that time I send you home. And what we see in the book of Ezra, as the temple becomes the priority built first, we get this reminder from God that the first thing that we do when we need to come home, the first thing that we need to do when we need to get our life back on track, the first thing we need to do to restore health and goodness and blessings in our life is to reestablish ourselves with God. I've heard so many people tell me, you know, Pastor, life was just off track and things weren't good, and I realized I'd been out of worship, I'd been out of the church. And here I came back and started worshiping God, and life got turned back around. That's exactly what God's saying. That maybe if we're feeling in exile, maybe if we're needing to come home, maybe if it's that time, we're needing to move God up on the priority list, to put God in our worship up towards the top, or our time in scripture, or our time in prayer, or our time in fellowship, and establish our relationship with God. Because God, like with the Israelites, he says, build the temple first. Build my house, your place of worship, your place that you connect and come to be with me first. And then all those other things on the priority list, the place to live, the roads, the businesses, all of those things will fall into line if you put me first. And so here in Ezra, we see this beautiful text about the rebuilding of the temple and the reestablishment of the house of Levi to come back in as the priests to reestablish the worship and order the people into this book. And so I wonder if you're feeling in exile, if there needs to be this coming home of the literal coming home to God. But it doesn't end in the temple. Girls, you still got bricks left, huh? So then we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah, because Ezra, say Ezra, all right? And say Nehemiah. You got to kind of put a deep voice on that one. Can you say Nehemiah? Nehemiah. These are the two books about returning home from exile. And Ezra concentrates on building the temple. And then we've got Nehemiah, where again God commands through Nehemiah. And now he doesn't say build a temple, but in what Mr. Dave read, it says it's time to build the wall. Girls, are you ready to build a wall? Can you build a wall right here in front of the temple to protect it? All right, let's see if we got good wall builders here. And the neat thing is, we got all sorts of sizes and ages and ethnicity and this great diversity in our wall builders right here. And in the book of Nehemiah, it says the same thing. There's this beautiful chapter that talks about everybody it took to build the wall, all these different families, people inside Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem. And it's just this beautiful text about people coming together. And it said in what Dave read, for the common good to build this wall. And it was this fantastic event. So are we almost done with our wall? That is a solid wall right there, by the way. We got some good builders in this church. All right, let's get that last couple pieces in. Anella's piece and Phoebe's piece. Where are you going to put your piece, Phoebe? You got that one? How about the one in your hand? You going to put that brick in the wall? Where are you going to put it? Oh, we're going to help more with the temple. Awesome. All right, Anella, where do you want to put your brick? All right, get it right on top. Nice tall wall. Is that a good, solid wall that's going to protect our temple? Absolutely. All right, can we give our kids a hand for rebuilding our wall and our temple? And with that, since you guys have been the most awesome builders in the world, I'm going to invite you to celebrate by going and sitting back with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and friends. So you guys want to go find your seats? I won't complain if they want to stay with the pastor. So here we have in Nehemiah, here we have where it says, Jerusalem lays in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Jerusalem's not looking so good at this point. Kind of like life sometimes, where maybe it's that point where God's back in there, but that peace and security we seek just doesn't seem to be there. That foundation that we need that helps us to feel good about the place that we're in, helps us to reestablish ourselves and build ourselves back up in the place we want to be in life. So here Jerusalem's in ruins, and what does Nehemiah say? Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. We will no longer be this people with a ruined wall and no protection. And so what does it say? Then what they did, they replied, let us start rebuilding. I love the NRSV because it has an exclamation point right there. This is the rally cry of the people. Let's build this wall. And so they come together to start building this wall. And sometimes in life, you know, we really want to feel like we can do it ourselves. I need to get my life back on track. I need to be the one that takes care of it. It needs to be by my own bootstraps that I do it. But I see this in the wall and all these people coming together, working together from near and far. A reminder that sometimes when we need to reestablish ourselves, sometimes when we need a rebuilding in our lives, sometimes when we got to get out of this exile in these places we don't want to be, that first we need to be going and seeking God, the temple, but then where we need to go from there is the people that God puts around us. The support system that God gives us of our friends, our loved ones, our church community, and have the humbleness and the willingness to say, I will accept your help if you will help me rebuild. I will accept your help to support me in this time when I need it. Because that's why God's given us community. But it's not always those quick roses, because what happens, they begin to rebuild, and then what do they hear? That voice of criticism and cynicism, right? When it seems like we're going to be getting back on track, and there's somebody that tries to derail us. And we hear it in the scripture as the words are, what is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Why are you building a wall? Are you trying to, like, put it in the face of the king? Here we're separating ourselves from you. The world is trying to get them. The world is trying to stop them. And this will happen. The world will try to get us. But I love the response. Did you hear it? I, meaning Jeremiah, answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or any historic right to it." You know what we say to the world when the world questions us or tries to get us down? I got God on my side, and God is going to give me success. God is going to be the one to rebuild me. God is going to be the one to give me comfort and security. God is going to be the one to fulfill the promise he gave me to have a hope and a future. God is on my side, and I dare you to challenge him. My friends, there are those times in life when we're in exile. There are those times where it feels like we're away from home and outside of our comfort zone. But number one, God always promises that exile is temporary. Our time away is temporary. And he says, I will always bring you home. I will always restore you. And our God is not a God of broken promises or empty promises, but our God is a God of fulfilled promises because he loves us so much. And so no matter where you are, realize that God will bring you home. And number two, that God is the one behind our success, that God is the source of our rebuilding, that God is the one that will provide the help and the resources that we need if we trust him and we look to him. And then as we wrap it up, we continue in Nehemiah as they finish the temple and they finish the wall. And once it's all finished, guess what happens? This wonderful thing that through Ezra the priest, God says, all right, everything's all established and ready to go. Plunk, here you go. Here's the reminder of the law. Now that we're set, this is the covenant we have. This is how we're to live together in harmony. Let's remember this and let's do it better this time. And the people, when that law comes in, gets all downtrodden and starts to weep over it. And when Ezra sees this, he responds to them in chapter 8. And he says, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." And he says, what does God want you to do? God wants you to go and eat the choicest of meats, to drink wine and to celebrate and go share what you have with the people who don't. He said, God is in this place. God has restored us. And now is the time to celebrate. And so all of Judah heads out to have the biggest of parties to celebrate what God has done. When we've been through exile, when we've been through the difficult times, and when we're able to return home, let us not forget to celebrate, to worship, and to praise God in the fashion that God deserves, with loud trumpets and big feasts. For God is a God that deserves no less. And who doesn't need an excuse for a party? Amen? There's a great one here yesterday you missed. But anyway, so to remember, God is a God who keeps his promises. God is a God that will be behind us, helping us, supporting us, and providing us. And God is a God that deserves to be celebrated and praised for what he does for us. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all that you do. We give you thanks for all of the ways that you provide for us, all of the promises that you make to us, and all of the promises that you fulfill, all of the ways that you bring us home, and that you provide security, comfort, and peace for us. For in all of this, we give you thanks, and we seek to keep our hearts and our eyes turned to you, to be able to see the blessings that you give for us, and we will return with praise on our lips and in our hearts. For all of this, we pray in your most holy name. Amen.